Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Over the past 28 years, Philadelphia has not been too great of a place for the Blackhawks to say. I say that cautiously because obviously they ended the 49 Stanley Cup drought there in 2010, but regular season wins were tough to come by. Now, all of a sudden, after losing 14 straight in Philadelphia during the regular season, Blackhawks have won their last two, a 5-1 victory over the Flyers tonight, and they hand Philadelphia a rough loss as they continue to fight for the playoffs. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. But first, let's head on back out to the Wells Fargo Center, bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. Troy, that was a fun win. Hawks got off to a good start. It's always important for this team to get off to a good start, but also important for them to keep their pedal to the metal, and they did. Special teams really pulled through tonight, and a lot of credit to go around.
Like the way they played start to finish, they were seemed like they were focused. They were ready to go. They picked up the early goal. They were able to back it up, and then Soderblom made some big saves. The power play helped as well. The penalty killing was excellent, and a lot of kind of unsung heroes stepped up in this game. You look at Joey Anderson, Lucas Reichel, a goal and assist as well, plus two. Anderson, plus two. Athanasiou, plus two, and an assist in this one. Entwistle with the game's fifth goal, or the Blackhawks' fifth goal of the game. And just a lot of good stuff across the board. I really like the performance here, and great response by the guys after a tough start in that game against the Senators.
Definitely impressed with Lucas Reichel's start, because we've seen these surges from him since he's come back from Rockford, but it unfortunately hasn't been rewarded on the score sheet until tonight. I mean, he worked hard to get that first goal, and he also just had a little extra step to his game tonight.
Yeah, he was determined, taking that puck around the net on the wraparound. It was stopped originally by Arison, and then he followed it up. He stuck with it, found a way to just kind of sneak it in the short side there, and another nice setup for the goal by Joey Anderson on the breakaway. So that line really kind of started to connect a little bit, and Lucas Reichel had four shots on goal, only behind Connor Bedard, six. So some real good things out of Lucas Reichel. And on the defensive side of it, boy, I really thought that Kaiser's game was strong in this one. Every time he was out there, his speed was very noticeable. Played almost 20 and a half minutes in this one. Thought he was excellent. He picked up an assist and was plus two as well.
On the goaltending side of things, I mean, we've always broken down Arvid Soderblom's game this year. And, you know, you brought up how he's got the two wins against Arizona, he's got the two wins against Toronto, and all of those were some really impressive games. Not that this one wasn't impressive. I don't think it was his best game, but it's definitely an important one for him to try to move past all the hardship that he's dealt with this year and just get the job done.
Yeah, and nice for him to be in a position where he had the goal support in this game.
Yeah.
You know, up 2-0, you know, the game gets a little bit closer. Now you're up 3-1. So, it didn't come down to that one big save that sometimes in the games he just hasn't been able to make. So I think there was a little bit more of a comfort level third period. You would expect the Flyers to come on with a better push than they did. But I thought the Blackhawks defended extremely well, which took a lot of pressure off Soderblom. He looked calm. There was a couple loose pucks that he needs to clean up a little bit, but that will happen over the course of a game. But I thought he was really good. And this is a big confidence booster for him. You know, I'd like to finish off the season strong. Peter Mrazek has been great all season long as well. So you look at Soderblom, something to build off, some positivity that he really needs at this point.
I am really looking forward to hearing John Tortorella's post-game press conference after this one.
Yeah, our engineer Pat was saying the over and under was 39 seconds.
I read a tweet that he's going to talk before the players. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I love listening to him.
So do
he,
I.
He calls it like it is, and you understand sometimes. I like what he did last game. He came out and he apologized to the media
about
being short and saying that his goaltender wasn't good enough. He didn't answer anything. There was a question about his goaltender, and he just left it at that. And You know, he said, my body language was bad. I should have answered the question. It was a legitimate question, and I apologize for that. So, and I just like Tortorella. I do. I like his demeanor. I like the way he handles the bench. He's fiery when he needs to be, and I think that he's going to be really disappointed in his team's performance here tonight.
Yeah, I think so, too, but I concur. I like Tortorella in terms of his personality behind the bench. Those Flyers fans, not thrilled. We heard the boo birds through the radio dial. Sounds like there was a fight that broke out in the one of the upper deck sections. I mean,
No, I didn't see that. John's still listening, did you? Yeah, he's shaking his head, so no, he didn't.
It wasn't see you that guys,
as well,
right?
So no, it wasn't us. So, but you know, like Luke Richardson talked about, this is a passionate fan base, like the Chicago fans, but maybe a little bit more impatient. They didn't like the power play opportunities that the Flyers had in the first period. They didn't get anything done there, but they were still in the game. And boy, early on, they started on the home team, and that's disappointing for the guys on the bench.
And they call it the city of brotherly love.
I'm staying neutral.
It's a little backwards, but yeah, no, good decision. All right, pal, great stuff, fun game, and we'll talk to you in a couple of nights.
Yeah, I enjoy these kind of games. You know, it hasn't happened too often this season, but there was a lot of positives in this game, a lot of good performances for guys that need to finish off the season strong, and you know, something that you can really build on going into that game against the Islanders on Tuesday night.
All right, yeah, onto the island. Happy Easter, pal. We'll talk to you.
Happy Easter to you and everybody back at the station. Good job.
Yeah, likewise. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call out at the Wells Fargo Center as the Blackhawks take down the Philadelphia Flyers 5-1 in Philadelphia. This postgame show's rolling until 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. We're hoping to get some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. We'll hear from Luke Richardson. I do have our producers, Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy, standing by to try to pick up any John Tortorella sound that we can find as well. Listen, I'm a fan of the Philly fans. I do agree. It's got a lot of the same passion that Chicago fans have, just a lot of the same type of diehard personalities. But they are a little restless, and they are a little combative and a little bit less forgivable. A fight breaking out in the upper deck, okay, that's nothing new in the sports world. But I did pull a couple of funny quotes from Twitter based on frustrated Philadelphia fans. I'll read a couple for you. Even Chicago's power play can score. Okay, that's enough Philly sports for the day. There cannot be another fan base that has to endure more pain than us. The Philadelphia Phillies, by the way, over in Major League Baseball, starting the year 0-2. They lost to the Braves today, one of their division rivals, 12-4. That was a home game, so it sounds like they were hoping that the Flyers against this Blackhawks team could help their playoff chances and kind of right the wrong of the Philly sports day, but apparently not. The Blackhawks had other plans. Here's another tweet from a Philadelphia Flyers fan. Hate to say it, but I'm looking forward to the lottery at this point. A lot to look forward to get for next year. Maybe they get lucky in the top 10. I mean, if the season ends tonight, they're still in a playoff spot. Even if the Washington Capitals win, the Flyers go down to that second wild card spot. There's 7 games left. It can still happen. I don't think the Flyers fans need to jump off the ledge in terms of their playoff hopes immediately. But, I mean, hey, I get it. I understand. I resonate with those hard sports fans. But it is just a little fun to poke fun at the Flyers' expense tonight because of the year the Hawks have had. And to pick up a solid win like this definitely feels good. Here was my favorite one from a Flyers fan on Twitter. Ivan Fedotov, the new goaltender that they just officially signed from the KHL. They say, Ivan Fedotov just flew back to Russia. That's my favorite one. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Hawks beat the Flyers 5-1 tonight from the Wells Fargo Center. A good, I know I use this phrase a lot, but a team-friendly victory. Everybody pitching in tonight. The offense right off the hop was aggressive, especially Lucas Reichel. Definitely want to talk about his game, his goal, and his just extra drive tonight. Troy was very complimentary of Wyatt Kaiser's game. I agree, and Alex Vlasic, too. I know those are two very easy guys to bring up and talk about, but it's validated especially with Vlasic, but then Kaiser too. I mean, because he continues to do the same things that brought him back here to the NHL level. Not the biggest guy, but makes a lot of big stops, finds his way, always finds the right way to position himself to break up a pass or break up a shot, and just has such a very clean hockey IQ of where he needs to be at the right time. He was a plus two tonight. He picked up an assist, like Troy mentioned, 20 minutes and 35 seconds on the ice. And Arvid Soderblom, too, with a couple of really big saves in the second and third periods. Couple decent ones in the first. Again, it wasn't his best game of the night, but he definitely needs these types of games just to kind of set things a little bit even keel for himself. It doesn't always have to be he has a really rough night or, man, one of his best games of the year. That's kind of been the case with him. It's been polarizing performances almost throughout the entire year, with the majority of them being on the negative side. But his two wins against Arizona and his two wins against Toronto have been very impressive. This one was just getting the job done, not looking too scrambly out there, not giving up too many rebounds. I do think Troy's right as well with just the biggest difference when this team plays with a lead. And that's why a good start is just so crucial for this team, because they play a totally different type of way, and they're able to play a little bit more confidently. And it's not just tonight. We saw it in the game against Calgary, and even the comeback win against San Jose. They didn't have a lead until they picked up the game winner in overtime, but once they started to find their mojo, it's a totally different game, because they're not chasing. And they're not looking to make the perfect pass or the perfect shot to get them back into the game. And it's just a so much simpler, more concise way for them to play. And it's just a lot more of what you want to see, especially with this young team learning good attributes and good traits along the way. This is what you want to see them do. You want to see them play their game, not care about who the opponent is, like a Philadelphia Flyers team that's fighting for the playoffs and, you know, looking at a very important 2 points coming up. They just stuck to their game. They got off to a really good start. The Hawks had the first 5 shots on goal, and they jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Philadelphia tried to steal the momentum back, too. I mean, Scott Laughton dropping the mitts with Ryan Donato. It didn't look like Donato really wanted to start that fight, but he had no problem getting involved in it. And Donato, I mean, we've talked about him a lot this year, too, but just kind of a Swiss Army knife for this team, able to provide so many different roles offensively. He was kind of quiet on the score sheet tonight, now that I look at it. He did not factor in on a plus-minus. He had no points. He actually only played 12 minutes and 46 seconds. But don't forget, Luke Richardson switched up the lines a little bit tonight. He put Jason Dickinson on that top line with Connor Bedard and Philip Kurashev. By the way, Bedard feeding Kurashev for a goal tonight, and it was Kurashev's 16th goal of the year. Something that Troy Murray had brought up, which makes a lot of sense too, is moving Bedard to the wing tonight does a couple of things. I for one, am glad that Dickinson finally got a look on the same line with Connor Bedard. I feel like he's definitely deserved that this year, and he kind of fits the mold for that line pretty well, like the way Nick Foligno did. He's the guy that can be a little bit more, not so much a bruiser, but can play a little bit more of a physical game, go into the corner, get the puck for those guys, win those one-on-one battles. And with his production this year, I'm kind of surprised it took a little bit for him to get up there. But the main thing being the chemistry we've seen with him and Joey Anderson and Colin Blackwell for a good amount of time on that line, too. You don't really want to mix that up. And Nick Foligno has looked good with Connor Bedard and Philip Kurashev. But anyway, I was glad we got to see Dickinson on that line. And like Troy Murray brought up, when you move Bedard over to the wing towards the end of the year, you're taking a little bit of the responsibility off his plate. And an 18-year-old in his first year in the NHL, although lives up to the challenge each and every game, and I'm sure wants all of that responsibility, it's probably very beneficial for him to just take a little bit of a lighter load as this season goes along and can just kind of play to where his skill set is best. Again, I think the Hawks envision Bedard as a center. That's not going to change. But you move him over to the wing for just a little bit, And maybe he can just focus on the offensive part of his game and not so much on the faceoffs. I mean, Bedard did not take any faceoffs tonight. He had been struggling a little bit in that department. I think he was 2 for 3 in the Ottawa game in the Hawks' last contest. But granted, that was just 3 faceoffs completed. It was the game against Calgary. He did very poorly in the faceoff circle. Luckily, Nick Foligno did a very good job that night. But these are the speed bumps, the growing pains that he's going to have to endure from time to time. And I mentioned it on the last game that Connor Bedard's game has looked maybe just a little bit slippery. Like, I don't want to say he's been skidding or he's off a little bit, just a little slippery. I didn't see that as much tonight. And the feed that he had to Filip Kurashev on that goal is prime Connor Bedard. It's what we've seen. The TV broadcast slowed things down actually very nicely, where he gets the puck on the far side and his head is up as he's just kind of coasting down the ice. And he knows that Kurashev is over to his left, but he's basically waiting for the defender to move his stick in a way to create an open lane for Bedard to feed Filip Kurashev. And the moment the defender moves his stick but kind of, you know, cocks his arm back to swing the stick the other way, Bedard sees that split-second moment where he can pass the puck uninterrupted, and he does exactly that, and Kurashev buries it. And it's just those little things that are so impressive from an 18-year-old that he doesn't miss a beat. It just continues to show what he is capable of in his game and when he's absolutely rolling. Sounds like we got some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. I do want to hear from Lucas Reichel, who scored his first goal since returning from Rockford and had a 2-point night, his first of this season. Let's hear from the Blackhawks forward.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was like have a good first period. I think the last couple of games when in the first period we kind of were sleeping, and it was good to have like a 2-0 lead after the first.
Your first time since December scoring, is feel like kind of a weight off your shoulders a little bit?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, it feels always good to score, but after you know a long time, it feels definitely better. Yeah.
You had 4 shots on goal in that first period. Were you looking to be more aggressive? Was it all a different mentality coming in?
Yeah, I think we talked about it as a team in the first period, like playing simple, having shots on that, and just have a good forecheck. And I think that's what we all try to do. And yeah.
On that play that led to Joey's breakaway goal, what did you see kind of in the defensive zone there?
I didn't see anything. I was like going for the puck, tripped it out, and I got kind of like hit, so I didn't even see the goal. So I don't know really how it happened. So yeah.
It seems like you guys kind of harp on getting the pucks out, and that's a big focus. And just to hustle there and have it pay off so well, is that also a good sign, I guess, moving forward?
Yeah, I think today we played like the right way, like in the red zones, we got the pucks out, and just playing, you know, tripping, chase, playing north, and it worked out today.
What did Anderson add to your guys' line today?
He's like so good, like with a stick, you know, he gets pucks back. He's really smart. He plays simple, he plays to win, so he definitely helped us to win too.
I didn't keep quite a note of it, but we've found out over the past couple of games that the Hawks have had this internal goal of having at least 10 shots on net and 10 hits in the first period. I know the Hawks had 10 shots on goal in the first period. I don't know how many hits they had, but they did have 32 throughout the game. So on average, that works out. But once again, it's the intentional start that the Hawks were looking for that they got tonight. And Lucas Reichel's goal is such a good example of that and what the Hawks have been wanting to see more from Lucas Reichel. I mean, he picks up his first goal since returning from Rockford with his first 2 shots on goal. I mean, at first, Ersson had the save on Reichel, but because he just had that mentality, I'm going to get this in as any way I can, and just that extra swat of the puck was able to sneak through the left skate of Ersson and give the Hawks a 1-0 lead. And I wonder how much confidence that gives Reichel for the rest of the game, knowing I got that goal under my belt, I don't have to worry about this drought anymore, even though I don't know how much that's been looming over him. But I did notice just, and again, we have been seeing this since he's returned from Rockford, but it was just this extra burst of energy racing after the puck, fighting after the puck, doing absolutely everything he could to get the puck from the defender. Just, you know, one of those things, it's like playing catch with a tennis ball as you're playing with a dog who just wants the tennis ball no matter where it is, no matter who's got it. Hey, you know, it's got to have that tennis ball. It was something like that. I mean, Reichel was just relentless on the puck as the game progressed, and I really wonder how him scoring that goal in the first period was allowing him to just kind of play his game and coast through. Either way, definitely worked out for him, worked out for the Hawks tonight. 5-1, they beat the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Hawks have now won three out of their last four games. They end the month of March 500, the first time that they've finished a month with a 500 record, so their best record of a month this year. And 8 games left in the regular season for the Hawks to finish off on a high note. We're going to hear from Nick Foligno. We're also going to hear from Luke Richardson, but we got to get to a break. Blackhawks beat the Philadelphia Flyers 5-1. We'll also hear from you, 312-981-7200. You can call or you could text, as we've got the Blackhawks postgame show up until 9:30 tonight after a 5-1 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers here on 720 WGN.
5 seconds left in the game. Ginning content to take the puck behind the Flyer net, and you hear the boos as the game comes to an end. This is an enormous loss for the Philadelphia Flyers. 5-1 the final score, and with this loss, the Flyers are in position to be caught by the Washington Capitals, who are playing the Boston Bruins right now, and if the Capitals win that game, they leapfrog over the Flyers and into the third spot in their division.
Well, the Capitals don't win. They lose in the shootout to the Boston Bruins. Kevin Shattenkirk with the game winner in the shootout. So they go into a tie with the Philadelphia Flyers for third place in the Metro Division. I don't know the tiebreaker right now. Maybe we can figure that out by the end of the postgame show. But again, even if Washington would have won that game, they would have swapped spots with the Flyers, at least for the moment. I'd have to take a look at the overall standings to see what some of the other teams did. But heading into tonight's game, the Flyers had the last spot in the Metro. Washington had the last spot in the wild card. So it was my understanding that they would just kind of swap spots. But you know what? NHL.com updates things pretty quickly. Well, right now, looks like Washington has the tiebreaker. They own the third spot of the Metro. Philly has the second wild card spot, but I think they're going to be okay because they're 2 points ahead of the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit lost in a shootout tonight. That game is over. They can't gain any more points tonight, but still a catastrophic loss for the Philadelphia Flyers. You heard John Weidemann say it. You heard the Philly fans booing at the Wells Fargo Center, and this coming from Anthony DiGrazio on Twitter, the Philadelphia Flyers beat. I think we hit the bottom tonight. That's a quote from John Tortorella, head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, and then Anthony DiGrazio saying, he's not wrong. Worst loss of the season. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text, share your thoughts after this 5-1 victory for the Hawks. Impressive win. They even up this road trip to 1-1. They'll take on the Islanders in a couple of nights to try to get above 500 on the road trip. But overall, a strong start, something they definitely needed, something they were definitely looking for. Great game for Lucas Reichel. Good game for Arvid Soderblom. Another good game for Connor Bedard. He gets back on the scores sheet with an assist. And just a whole bunch of credit to go around. Not too many things to pick apart negatively from the Blackhawks game tonight. Nick Foligno scored a power play goal. He helped the Hawks to a 3-1 lead en route to their 5-1 victory. Let's hear from the Blackhawks forward.
Probably our most complete game in some aspects. I think we bent, didn't break, you know, and I think that's a great sign for a club where we didn't let the momentum swings go too far against us. They obviously made some pushes and got some lucky, you know, they missed a couple open nets, but that's, you know, we've had that happen to us too. So I think we got to be proud of our start, which again, has to be the recipe for us going forward. And every time we seem to have a good start, we give ourselves the best chance to win. So it's not rocket science, as they say, and we got to find a way to just to have that mindset every time we step on the ice. And I was proud of the guys today. A lot of guys played really well and stepped up, and great to see Sody get a win too.
Obviously, so many teams you guys are facing down the stretch for, playoff implications. Do you guys enjoy maybe being the spoiler in some ways?
I have to with the position we're in, right? Like, that's just what gets you up for games. I mean, if you're in a position to in the playoffs, then you got those teams that are looking forward to bumping you off too. So we're that team right now. We don't want to stay there. But that's a little bit of a motivation going into it. And I think it's just trying to find our team game. We talked about it earlier. Right? Like it really needs to start coming more and more and be second nature to us, where we just know who we're going to be every time we step on the ice. And that's kind of been the issue this year, right? We play really well this one game. Now we got to make sure we get our rest and do it again in New York and start building that and feeling what that feels like.
Did you guys talk about having like a strong start against a team like this?
Yeah, you had to. I mean, I played for Torts. I know what he has and what his teams do when they come out, especially when they're fighting for their playoffs. And it's something we talked about in here. And we're disappointed in Ottawa. We honestly played a decent game minus our first period. So you shore that up, and maybe we have four wins in a row here right now. So that was the mindset coming in. I was really proud of every guy for stepping up to do it.
Did you think putting Joey and Dickinson on different lines, maybe it added some stability throughout the lineup in any ways?
I think it helps. I think it finds a little bit of balance of some detailed guys mixed in with some skilled guys, mixed in with some hard-working forechecking guys. So, we're trying to obviously tinker with what works. But, I mean, look at Joey Anderson tonight. I mean, I called him Jumbo Joe. Remember Joe Thornton out there with his dishes. So it was nice to see him, get rewarded for the way he plays. And he's a guy that does a lot of good things for us. And Dickie, too. I mean, he stabilizes us in a lot of ways. It was just his presence up the middle. And, it's nice to see everyone get rewarded.
Could you feel Philly sag a little bit after you guys scored the third goal?
Yeah, I think that was a big one for us, just to get that one on the power play, right? We had done a great job on our kill, and you win special teams. It's amazing what that can do to a team and deflate. And now you're really trying to play catch up, and you open yourself up a bit more, and we were able to get a couple more because of it, right? So that's the difference, and what we probably lacked this year is that killer instinct or that way to get that next one in order to allow ourselves to win or at least be in a good position to. And I was proud of the guys for digging in on that one.
Reichel seemed to have a really good game too, not only awesome. Scoring early, but he made some really good plays after that. Have you seen him kind of working his way back and getting more confidence?
Yeah, and it's one game, and I think he has to realize that's the recipe and that's who he has to be. And you see him using his legs and his vision and his ability to create space and separation with his skills. So, great play to wrap it and then second effort to put it in. And I think that's where he needs to understand it, that tenacity that he plays with. It's important for his game, and it's not about running out and hitting guys, but it's just being heavy on pucks, hard on pucks, and he gets rewarded because he did that tonight.
Connor being more, I guess, just sort of even with the officials maybe disagreeing with the goaltending.
I loved it. Nice to see a goalie interference call from Connor. You don't see that too often, so I thought it was a tough one anyway, but it's he puts himself in harm's way sometimes, and you love that about him. You cringe every now and then, but you love that he's a guy that's not afraid to go to the dirty areas, and he's a special player.
Yeah, that's another thing. I'm very glad that the ridiculous goalie interference call on Connor Bedard didn't end up playing a factor in this one. The Hawks were able to kill off that penalty, kind of gain some momentum after being perfect on the PK tonight, and then add to their lead on Nick Foligno's power play goal. Once again, just a lot of credit to go around this entire team, and just a team-friendly victory. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text in. We're recapping this 5-1 victory for the Hawks over the Philadelphia Flyers. But we're going to go to the phone lines. Jim is in Oak Park, and I think he wants to talk about the scoring title. Do you mean points overall, Jim, or just goals?
Points overall. It's just very, very very captivating to me watching the race. McDavid's gotten right back in it. He was down quite a bit in the race and last about a month ago. And now they're all within 2 or 3 points of each other. It's about 6 or 7 games left. And tonight, each of the guys, they've gotten a couple of points. I haven't seen the final scores and who got exactly how many points. But who's your choice between Kucherov and
McKinnon and Connor McDavid?
And McDavid. Scoring title.
Really quick, Jim, before I let you go, who's yours? And then I'll elaborate on mine.
Just, you know what? McDavid seems to be hottest right now, just getting more points than the other guys. I'm going to go with McDavid. He's behind by 2 or 3 points. I think he's going to come out in my head.
Yeah, what I'm looking at now, and again, I don't know if this is updated. I know McDavid had at least 2 goals today. I don't know how many points he had, but right now I'm looking at it. Nathan MacKinnon, 127. Connor McDavid, 125. Nikita Kucherov, 124. I'm going to go with McDavid as well because you're right. He had a little bit of a slow start to the season, so I just feel like, you know, this is what he does on average, so I could definitely envision him just kind of blowing past. Plus, Edmonton, you know, very hungry to go for a long playoff run. I feel like he feeds off that, and his line mates with Hyman is going to do that too. So I'll go with Connor McDavid. I'll double up with you.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thank you, Jim. Have a good one.
All right.
That's Jim in Oak Park, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to join us. Hawks beat the Flyers 5-1. We are going to hear from Philadelphia head coach John Tortorella, but first, let's hear from the winning head coach and Luke Richardson after this 5-1 victory.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good bounce back. We talked about our disappointing start in Ottawa in our last game, and we've been rolling pretty good lately. So the focus was the start tonight and then continuing the way we played in the first. It was fast, it was above them, and we engaged physically and played a real spirited game, I thought.
Could you feel Philly start to sag a little bit after Nick's power play goal, the third goal for you guys?
I'm not sure about, it takes a little bit of life out of the building for sure, where it's, usually you can rally around the roar of the crowd in this building, but I felt like our guys did a good job of not really letting them get too much momentum, so... for us, that was a big goal to regain a 2-goal lead for that second intermission and, just have the confidence to play the right way after the rest of the way.
You flipped the lines around a little bit. What's the thought process behind putting Connor at the wing especially?
I think the way we play, it's fast and it's interchangeable. So a lot of times Connor's skating through the middle of the puck anyways. Doesn't matter really where he plays. And I thought it's good that all three of those guys are pretty good centerman for face-off draws, so depending on what side, I told them to decide who's going hot against certain guys, and we weren't great in the face-off circle anyways tonight, but they can manage on the face-offs, and I thought it worked well. I think those three guys have been playing really good hockey lately, and I thought it was good to try them together.
How do you feel like Anderson affected that line?
Good, yeah, and he's a responsible guy, but I loved how they started the game. I thought both AA and Reichs were really skating tonight, and I think that Anderson can really make the play right plays defensively, but he also makes really good plays offensively, and we saw that tonight. So I thought they complemented each other really well.
Scoring, it's got to be huge for Lucas, but it seemed like that play along the blue line that got Anderson the breakaway you probably liked just as much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, him, he was responsible. I think he gained confidence scoring early, and it seemed like he had some mojo in that first period. I liked him having the puck on his stick skating, and he can skate a little more. Sometimes he took a little bit of the speed off and tried to make a play. I think he's got, not be selfish, it's part of the game. If it's there, take it. And I'd like to see him just be a little bit more determined to continue to drive, but I loved him. He was shooting pucks tonight. And made the right plays, like you said, on the blue lines for other people too. So I think that gave him the confidence to do that, especially getting on the board early. And it wasn't an easy goal. Like, he had to take the puck to the net, and he stayed with it on the second play.
With Bedard, putting Dickinson there, is it mostly just when it comes to defensive zone that they're mostly switching positions a little bit more?
Well, no, I think that usually counts on who's back first. But, Dickinson's a guy that usually is a responsible guy and back there first. And it allows Connor to be creative and be up front, and he likes making plays down low around the net. So obviously you're not probably going to be the first guy back. So I think it works out well. And when he's playing center, a lot of times that happens. He's up on the wing in the D zone because he likes playing low in the D zone or in the O zone, and he's making plays down there around the net. So it just works out.
Felino was talking about just playing a spoiler a little bit. Is there anything you've emphasized with the guys at all?
No, it's all about us, and we want to make sure we're playing the best that we can play, and if it happens to be a spoiler for someone else, well, that's not up to us to motivate the other team. It's up to them, so we're just worried about how we're playing, and I think we're going in the right direction, and I want to keep it that way.
for Arvid, the goal is maybe savable and right off the draw, basically, in the second period, but then to settle down and not allow any more the rest of the way. Do you like seeing that?
Yeah, and he was big on our power play, or on their power play, so penalty killing. We relied on him making big saves, and there wasn't a lot of rebounds coming off him tonight. And, you know, I'm glad we got him some goal support tonight because... you know, he deserved a win tonight. He played solid. And, you know, I mean, I think the one probably slipped through, but I don't think he saw it through. It was a great shot through Vlasic's, right beside his legs. And sometimes, you know, I mean, you're still getting geared up from the intermission, and that happened pretty quick. So, you know, I thought he settled in really good after that. But I, like I said, that power play goal, not just for the whole team, but for Sodi to have confidence to know that we have a two-goal cushion going in the third, that was probably big too.
Blackhawks beat the Philadelphia Flyers 5-1 as Philly is in a playoff race. We are going to hear from the colorful John Tortorella right after this break. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Philip Kurashev there will flip it back in behind, but Seeler will take it away for the Flyers. Head to Frost at center ice to connect me over the Hawk line. He put it in front. Frost guides it on goal. Turned out of there, and a follow-up shot was knocked wide. Tippett had a point-blank chance in a near-empty net, and he missed. Eric Johnson firing from the right wing boards. Off the skate of Korchinski.
That's our Save the Game, which is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd powering business, powering lives. Big win for Arvid Soderblom, his fifth of the year, but he ends up stopping 30 Philadelphia Flyers shots in this 5-1 victory for the Hawks over the Flyers. It's also a twofer. I'm going to give Arvid Soderblom our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program. Top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show after a 5-1 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Let's hear from the Flyers head coach after this frustrating loss in John Tortorella.
Yeah, I don't think it's through lack of preparation for them. I think they're ready to play. I mean, I think the most important part of the game tonight was when we crawl back in at 2-1. TK hits the post right after the next shift. We have a power play, a couple of them, which are awful. And then they score their power play goal to go up 3-1. The start, you know, I've had the narrative here for the past few games, and I think it's the correct narrative. I don't think we've played badly, but I don't think we played well tonight at all. And for whatever reason, I have no idea. I wish I did. But that's a good old-fashioned drubbing right there. We had a chance to get back in it in that sequence. Power play, I think, deflates us, and they score.
Had a good push really in the second half of Thursday's game. There were some pushes tonight. Is it something you guys are doing, or is there something you guys can do to finish better, or is it just a matter of bearing down and scoring on the
No, we're not executing. And I try to be honest with you about the game itself that we play. I don't think we've played poorly up until tonight. We sucked tonight. I mean, we didn't execute. We didn't make one play. So... maybe that's what needs to be happened. Maybe I think we hit the bottom tonight here, and maybe that which it needs to happen for us to get back into it. You can't. I think we're. I know Sanny and Yorkie are on fumes. Okay? Just watching them play, they're not even thinking correctly. We're going to clear the deck. We got to start again Monday, and hopefully we'll be able to rebound.
That's why John Tortorella is one of the most entertaining coaches to hear from after big wins and especially after big losses. Keep in mind, John Tortorella was looking up at the video board after Nick Foligno's power play goal, the one he was just talking about, how Philly didn't capitalize on their power play and the Hawks do on theirs. And he had this like menacing grin, kind of like, you got to be kidding me type evil smile going on. Not in a good way, right? Because obviously it was the turning point of the game in his eyes. One more break, and then we get you set up for the Blackhawks' next game and take a look around the league. Hawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Intercepted by the Lightning. Islanders get it back. Mike Riley left point to Ryan Pulock center point. Pulley takes a look, goes top of the right circle. Palmieri shoots. He scores! Kyle Palmieri let it go from the top of the right circle, and it found a hole through
Islanders the early 1-0 lead just 2 minutes and 25 seconds in.
Chris King of WRHU, the New York Islanders Radio Network. That's the Hawks' next game, and that's our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks finish up their road trip in New York on April 2nd, a 6:30 puck drop here on 720 WGN. The Islanders currently 5 points out of a playoff spot. Obviously, their postseason hopes dwindling 31-27-15. Let's take a look around the league, and we start in Florida.
And Bobrovsky giving the Panthers first place back. Let's go home, baby! Sergei Bobrovsky slams the door! The Panthers win it, and they're back atop the Atlantic Division.
That was a shootout winner for Florida, and that was Steve Goldstein of Bally Sports Florida. 3-2 over the Detroit Red Wings, despite Dylan Larkin tying up that game in regulation with 4 minutes left. Okay, let's go to the dramatic game in Minnesota.
The Minnesota Wild going for it here. Boldy, Kaprizov, Zuccarello's shot stopped. Carlson, Vegas gets to it. The empty net, and it goes! Jonathan Marchessault, what a way to get his 40th goal. Vegas is going to get the 2 points, and Minnesota will lose the loser point as well.
That's because John Hines, the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, pulled their goaltender in overtime. It worked for them earlier this year as they beat the Nashville Predators, but that's the gamble you take when you pull the goalie in overtime. I believe that was Steve Levy of ESPN. 2-1 the final, Vegas over Minnesota. One more, and it comes from Edmonton.
Ekholm's able to get it out to Drysdale. Comes down the left wing into the Anaheim end. He'll drop it. The shot by Henry. Rebound. Scores! Adam Henry gets his own rebound, and it's 1-0 Oilers.
That's Cam Moon of CHED Radio of the Edmonton Oilers. 6-1, they take down the Anaheim Ducks. 2 goals from Connor McDavid with that one, his 28th and 29th of the season. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help we had here at the WGN Radio Studios, our production crew of Alan Poppy and Jack Heinrich. They were led by our captains, the engineers Brett Jackson and the tireless Krista Flores. Out at the Wells Fargo Center, John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Once again, Hawks win 5-1 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Up next, we've got NCAA basketball for you. Alabama against Clemson fighting for the Final Four. Bama with a 55-51 lead with 10 minutes left. Have a good night, everybody. Happy Easter, and we'll talk to you Monday night for Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN.